Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. We've been talking about the peace of God and the peace that passes all understanding and walking in personal peace. God wants us to have peace with people, peace with Him, and peace with ourselves. So we've been talking about the peace with ourselves, and that's what we're talking about today. Let's look at our vision. All right, our vision is to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. All right. I tell you, if there's ever a time we need to be talking about the peace of God is now, isn't it? I mean, if you watch the news and you see all that's going on in our world, my goodness. Here's the idea. You can have a peace that passes all understanding, that really protects you. It says in Philippians 4:7, it says that the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. And that word guard means to protect from all enemy invasion. So folks, we need things protecting our minds. And that's what the peace of God does. It protects your mind when you understand it and you grow in it. So we are going to look at this in a special way, in this idea of keeping your minds on God. And this is good stuff. I can't talk about the peace of God enough because I've been growing in it and developing. It's a process. It takes time to grow in it. It takes time. And this is going to help you understand how it works. So give me Romans, give me the verse 17, if you would, Christina. Says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness always produces peace. That's a divine order. Righteousness comes first, then peace, then joy in the Holy Spirit. So the idea is we have to understand that. And he says we can live out of this kingdom. See, we're in this kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not over there or over there, but it's in you. It's in you. If the kingdom is in you and you're living out of that, you're going to be living out of righteousness. Righteousness means your relationship with God, and it's going to produce peace in your relationships. It's going to produce peace in your finances. It's going to produce peace within you with yourself. See that? You're not going to be moody and touchy and crude, rude, and in a mood all the time. Amen. Because you're going to have peace. You see that? Amen. You ever get around people you just got to tiptoe around because they're always upset about something? Always upset about something. Always mad at something. Well, you see, they don't have no peace within themselves. When you're upset, you're in a mood. That's because you don't understand what we're talking about today. When you understand, you're not going to be moody and touchy. You're going to be confident and secure in who you are. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to show you the you haven't met yet about who you are. And that's the truth. God wants you to know the truth, and the truth does what? Will set you free and make you free. Free to be what? Free to be me. That's the idea. God wants you to know you who you are. And that's what he's doing in his church. That's why he's building his church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against. The church are the people. Where the people are gathered, that's the church. It's not the building, it's the people gathered. The people who have Jesus in them, right? They gather together, hell can't come against that group right there. Are you with me? All right. So, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not physical, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we want to live out of this righteousness because it produces peace. Now, give me my Isaiah verse, if you would there, Christina. Okay, now, this is what we talked about last week. Isaiah says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You see that? Trust is a big thing. God wants you to be able to trust him in every area of your life. He wants you to trust him with your marriage, with your relationships, with your finances, with yourself, and be secure in who you are. Amen. He wants you to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So the idea that he wants you to trust him in every area. So now, think about this. He says you will, who's you? You is God. God. God will keep you, keep him in perfect peace. Perfect is the word, the Hebrew word shalom. And the Jewish people would say shalom when they would go to the marketplace, when they would wake up in the morning, they would say shalom to their kids. Shalom. You know what it means? Nothing missing, nothing broken. They would speak that over their kids. Shalom. That's called a benediction. Good words. Good word. Ben, B-E-N-E, good. Diction means word. Good words. Not because you're ending a sermon or you're ending a ceremony. No, you have the benediction every day over your children, over your husband. Speak the name of Jesus. That's a benediction. Are you with me? Over your family, right? So that's the idea. We want to be speaking that all the time. When we're not speaking good words, we're using corrupt words, we're tearing people down. And when you tear people down, you're tearing people who God made. Are you listening to me? That's why he says, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, only that which edifies. Anytime we speak negative words over people, we are outside the will of God. Right. We're not in the will of God. Right. You see that? You let no corrupt. What's it corrupting? It's corrupting God's will in your life. It's contaminating God's will in your life, the one who's speaking the corrupt words. You see that? That's in Ephesians 4:29. No corrupt word proceed from your mouth. So that's why we got to grow in this kingdom. We got to grow in this kingdom and begin to understand how it operates and functions. Amen. So now, look what it says. You will keep him in perfect. The word perfect means what? Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. We live in a broken world. We live with broken people. Broken people hurt people, right? When you understand what I'm talking about, you're not going to get hurt like you used to. You're going to be complete. Are you listening? You're going to have peace. When you have true peace, people can't hurt you. Did you get that? Because it's protecting you. It's protecting your mind and your heart from contaminated words coming in. Now, think about this. You will keep him in perfect peace. The word peace also means shalom. So you got a double whammy there. Perfect, shalom. And the word peace means shalom. Shalom, shalom. So in shalom, shalom, whose mind, you got to keep your mind is stayed on Him. Our mind should be stayed on God all the time. Some of the time? No, all the time. Well, how can I have my mind on God and do my job? You can. You'll do a better job. How can I have my mind on God and drive? Oh man, I got my mind on Jesus. Are you listening? God wants your mind on Him all the time. You know why? He wants you dependent on Him. That's what He wants. He wants you dependent on. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Everything. He wants it all. And when He's Lord, He goes to work for you. Am I making sense? Now, look at this. Whose mind is stayed on thee. So, if you want a healthy mind, fix it on God. The word stayed is the word frame. So, God wants you to frame everything you're doing with your mind on Him. I'm going to frame my marriage, how I'm going to talk to my wife, how I'm going to talk to my husband. I'm going to frame my words and how I speak over them with my mind on Him. You see that? He wants you to frame your moods and your attitudes. I'm not going to be rude, crude, and in a mood because somebody did something at work or the house wasn't clean when I got home. No, that's not going to throw you into a mood anymore because you got peace when you walked in. You see that? Because somebody didn't pick up something. No, pick it up yourself. Listen to me. When you start understanding this, and you got two people walking in this, you're going to have paradise. Am I making sense? Then you know what? You get in a bless me contest. Now you rush to help each other pick up stuff. You help each other because you're in the will of God and it's producing something in your life, in your under your roof, that's just phenomenal. I'm just trying to help you see something. It actually releases dopamine. When you start operating in this, it releases dopamine. And I'm telling you what, it's legal. Dopamine makes you feel better. Amen. You feel good when you speak good over your spouse, over your children. But you've got to change the way you're talking. And you, are you listening to me? And quit going to the refrigerator to get something to make you happy. So here's the idea. In His perfect peace, He will keep them whose mind is stayed on Thee. I'm telling you, I've been walking in this awareness, and it's just amazing. Donita and I were just out the other night and just talking to each other. We both got tears in our eyes, just talking about the peace of God we have and how it protects us. And just all that's going on in our world, we're just so grateful and so much to be thankful for. It's just amazing. Amazing what you can have. And it's paradise. You got somebody who's not arguing and fighting and full of strife all the time and got your back all the time. Man, that's a good place to be. Are you with me? And you're encouraging each other all the time. That's a marriage. Your marriage is to honor God. So the world can see your marriage and they see Jesus. That's what it's supposed to be. A marriage is supposed to show the world Jesus, what Jesus and the church looks like together. When we're together, people ought to see Jesus. Making sense? That's really how it's supposed to be. But when people see you, they ought to see Jesus. That you ought to show up and let people know that your God is credible because you're not rude, crude, and in a mood. You don't go into work, oh, another day, another dollar. You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't walk in, oh, we got to do the same old thing. Don't do that. Walk in there, be glad you have a job. Be thankful you had a job. And the boss that comes in, and if he's a tyrant, you ought to be praying for him and doing your best to serve him. That's why we're to serve. Remember it said in that verse, if you serve Christ in these things, you'll be approved by men. Men will even approve you. They won't even know why. But there's something on your life because you're advancing the kingdom of God. Now, and if God wants you out of there, God will move you out of there. And He'll give you a better job. But you stay there and you do your best right there if it's digging horse crap. You do it with a smile and full of joy and God's peace on your life. Am I making sense? I don't care if it's rolling boulders, whatever you got to do, you do it and you do it for the glory of God and He'll move you out of there. Are you listening to me? I don't care how bad you hate your job. You get God in there with you and you're not going to hate it near as much. You start talking to Him, keep your mind on Him, and God is going to help you in that job. God will get you out of there or He'll give you a promotion there. One of the two. Let's look at this. So this peace is what protects us. Go with me to Psalms 23. This is some good stuff. Righteousness always produces peace, right? We're talking about the personal peace of God. And with us as people, God's people have peace. See, when you have peace, it helps you with your decision making. It helps you in your discernment. It helps you, it helps you in who you spend your time with. See, you got to watch who you spend your time with. You got to watch the places you go to. Because if those places are disrupting your peace, then that's a place maybe you need to say, maybe I don't need to go there anymore. Right. Or maybe this group of people, I don't need to be hanging around anymore. Because those people are taking your peace. If it's disrupting your peace, you're allowing it by putting yourself around the people. You see, it's not people. It's the wrong people. God wants you to hang around certain people. God wants you to hang around people because He wants you to have influence in their life. And they're going to have influence in your life to help you on your journey. You see that? But if you keep choosing the wrong people, you'll never get there because you need people to help you get and fulfill God's plan in your life. Amen. We all need people, right? Am I making sense? This is significant. Let's look at Psalms 23 real quick. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, when the Lord is your shepherd, you're not going to want for anything. See, the word Lord means master, ruler. When He's your master and ruler and you're yielding to Him, you're going to be taken care of. I don't care what this world's doing. You see that? It doesn't matter what this world system's doing. You're going to be provided for. Are we making sense? You're going to be taken care of and you're going to have peace right in the middle of all this. The Lord is my shepherd. That word shepherd means protector. It means provider. Now watch this. I shall not want. He's going to take care of you no matter what. Now look. See, that's why you have to say, the Lord is my shepherd. See, a lot of people say, well, they're a Christian. That's their. No, He's my shepherd. It has to be personal. You need to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. See, if you can't say that, then the peace and all this stuff we're talking about is not for you. You see that? You have to be born again in order for this to take place in your life. Making sense? Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what David said. And that's what we need to be able to say. He's my shepherd. Now look, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now I've studied this because when I was a kid, my dad was in a difficult situation with my mom, and she had a nervous breakdown. And what they used to do is they used to put people that had nervous breakdowns in mental institutions, and they put her in a mental institution on Wayne Avenue, and he didn't know what to do at the time. And so he had us in the living room. We got him and I had two sisters at the time. And my brother wasn't born yet, but we got in a circle, and he said, and when he was in World War II, my dad was in World War II, that whenever they would be being bombed in World War II, they would quote the 23rd Psalm. The chaplain on the ship of the aircraft carrier my dad was on taught them, when we're being bombed, we should be saying this in unison, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And that's what they would do. He says, I feel like I'm on that aircraft care in this time right now. He didn't know what to do. Felt like he was being bombed, attacked. Make sense? And so he started reading that, "The Lord is my shepherd." I believe that's the reason I'm a pastor today. Because when he read that, something else entered the room. I could feel it. When I was a kid, I was 5 years old. And it's just amazing what this word does. This word is alive. It's living. Now look at this. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now what's he mean by that? When a sheep is lying down in a green pasture on its back, it's been wounded. Because they don't just lie down on their back for nothing. They lie down on their back because they've been hurt and wounded. And so what happens is, a sheep will be grazing in a field, maybe on a thorn bush or something sharp, a rock, a cliff or something. He'll cut his face and it will leave a wound. And there are certain flies that hang out over these flocks of sheep, and they land on that wound, and parasites get in the wound, and it starts to torment the sheep. It's funny, but Satan, one of his names is Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. We see a fly really represents demons. Aren't they nasty?
Yes.
Well, anyways, they land on that wound and it causes it to be infected. And a sheep will rub its face on the ground and rub its face on a tree, on trying to get relief. And so what happens is, he'll do that so much he gets wore out. And so he goes from pasture to pasture trying to get relief from this wound. So he'll lay down on his back and put all of his feet up in the air. And when the shepherd sees his sheep in that position, he gets linseed oil or olive oil and he mixes it with sulfur and it becomes a healing balm. And he puts it on a rag and he smears that in that wound and rubs it in there, and it brings immediate relief. And the sheep will jump to its feet and go back to the flock. "Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over." That's what he's talking about. You see, only Jesus has the anointing to heal you from the wounds you've been wounded with in life. Only Jesus. Am I making sense? And that's the idea. God wants the anointing to heal you, but you have to allow him to heal you. When he's Lord of your life, he's going to anoint you and bring the healing you need. Here's what happens. We get wounded in life by some trauma or something that happened, in your life. That was a trauma when my mom was put in the hospital to me. So I had a trauma. There's traumas. There's acute traumas. There's chronic traumas, and there is compound traumas. And compound is the worst. It keeps layering and layering because it's deep. And here's the idea. If you don't ever allow God to heal that, it will guide your life and keep you miserable and full of fear. You see that? But if you allow God to heal you, divorce causes trauma on kids. All people have traumas in their life, and healing only takes place through God's word. It says in Psalms 107, verse 20, that God sent his word to heal us, to heal us. And he wants to heal all our diseases.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? And all our traumas, he can heal us. And that's the idea. Now look, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So if I'm going to be healed, it's only going to be through Jesus. Amen. Now, he leads me beside the still waters. When a sheep drinks water, the shepherd will lead the sheep to a wide spot in the creek where the water's not running. If the water's running and a sheep dips his head down, the water will splash up and cause his head to get heavy. And he'll drown himself. Jesus said, "We're like sheep. We'll destroy ourselves without a shepherd." You see that? And that's what he's talking about. He leads me beside a wide spot where the water's calm. He'll only lead you to a place where you'll be refreshed without destroying yourself.
Amen.
Now, you got to catch this next part. Give me the next one. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now look at this. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores my soul. This is so important to understand. He restores my soul. The word restore means to bring back to the original condition. Our souls have been wrecked with sin and iniquities. Iniquities are patterns in your life that can hold you in sin. You see that? An iniquity could be a trauma. It could be a pattern in your life that holds you in sin. You see this? It says your sins and iniquities have been passed on to you as far back as 3 and 4 generations from your fathers. So the sins and iniquities get passed on from the father. So their wounds get passed on to you. Making sense? Now, that's why everybody needs healing in our life. So now think about this. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores my soul. What's your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's what you live out of. You live out of your soul. Your soul is a spiritual part of you. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. The word soul is the word psuche. That's the Greek word. And that's where we get the word psychology. Psychology is the study of the soul. And that's where we get the word psychiatry. So the word soul has to do with psychology and psychiatry. The study of the soul, the treatment of the soul. God has given us His word for the study of our soul and the treatment of our soul. You're only going to be healthy because you've been treated by God. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? This is why there's so much mental illness and so much problems in this area in our country right now, because they're not going to the source. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When you go to God, He brings healing in your mind, your heart, your life. Now look. Now look at this. He restores my soul. I used to think my mind was my brain. But your brain is not your mind. Your brain is just an organ that connects with your mind. So you can communicate thoughts, ideas, and beliefs. You see that? That's why when I went and saw that guy that had been unconscious for a while, and I said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and he sat up in the room, the word of God got a hold of him inside there and caused him to rise up and get a hold of me. You see that? And he was shaking us. His daughter and I, he was shaking. I thought, this is so powerful. I saw it. Now look, that's what we got to understand. We're in there because if your brain has been damaged, you can't communicate. But you're still in there. Your soul is still in there. You see that? Come on now. I'm just trying to help you see this. This is so important to understand. So your mind is not your brain. Your mind is a spiritual part of you. Come on. This is what the Bible teaches.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.